It's darkness out there. But you and I who have the Lord in our heart, we have our own light. We can see our way through darkness, through the moments that hit your life, the uncertainties of your life, the difficulties of your life, the moments that you cannot understand. The light comes to you because you and I dwell in the light as He is in the light.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, December 18th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Our Response to Christmas. The text comes to us from Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 through 9. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 2 speaks to us about this exact moment when Jesus was discovered in a manger by wise men. But as soon as Jesus was born, people took sides as to where they would link their allegiance to. It's very much like what we have today in our world. So let's first go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 3 through 9. Let me read that to you. It comes up in the screen in just a few seconds, because here at Beverly, we use the screen, but we also use our iPhones and our Bibles and everything else. So here we go. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. May God bless the reading of his word. Would you like for the Lord to speak to you this morning? So why don't we make our prayer? Lord, speak to me this morning. I'll receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We don't come to church just to listen to me. Hopefully, that's not the case. You come to church to listen to the voice of God in your heart. Those of us who are in the pulpit, all we can be is vessels, imperfect, but vessels. Allowing the Lord to flow and allowing God's word to reach your heart. But it's always the Holy Spirit that speaks to you. It's always the Lord speaking into your heart. It is that voice of God that is so crucial in the days in which we're living. Today, Christmas is celebrated in so many different ways. But in times past, as I have exegeted this passage of Scripture, it always comes down to people taking sides as to who Jesus really is. As soon as Jesus was born, people began to make decisions about him. And they grouped themselves into three categories, three groups of people. Three groups that they're always to be found, no matter in what time of life we live, regarding Jesus Christ. And as we look at this three reactions to Jesus and his birth, we need to ask ourselves, where do I stand? The first one is the reaction of Herod. Herod had hatred and hostility toward Jesus Christ. Herod was afraid of this little child that was being born because he perceived that Jesus was going to interfere with his life as he wanted to live it, was going to interfere with his place in history. He was going to interfere with his power and the influence that he had over the areas of interest that the government had accrued to him. And so the first instinct, the first thing that came to his mind and heart was to destroy the baby Jesus. Destroy him. You very well know, as you read continually, you continue to read chapter 2, you find that the reason that he sent the Magi to look for Jesus was not because he wanted to adore him, but he wanted to murder him. And later on in Scripture, you find that in reality, that's what happened. Small children were murdered and killed, hoping by Herod that among the children that were being killed would be found Jesus. So you see, there are people today who still gladly want to destroy Christ, kill Christ. I'm going to step into what may be next Sunday's sermon, but there's great darkness in the world today. It's so dark, so difficult, that you can cut it with a knife. In Exodus chapter 10, you find that in the ninth plague, darkness covered the earth. And it was for 3 days that the Egyptians couldn't see because darkness was so permissive, so hard that you couldn't even put your hand in front of your eyes and see. Put your hand in front of your eyes and see your hand. You couldn't do it. It's dark, darkness. With a darkness that leaves no room for light. Darkness that is completely blinds you. You can't see it. And this is exactly what was going on in the life of Herod. Hatred in his heart. Wanted to do away with Jesus. And today people want to do away with Jesus. And when you speak about Jesus, they want to do away with Jesus because Jesus interferes with their life. I want to live my life. I don't want Jesus coming in my way. Who does he think he is anyway? Well, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he made the universe. He made you, by the way. Big shot. You know? He has a very right to interfere with our life and to show us how life needs to be lived. That life is not lived outside of his jurisdiction, because that's not really life. It's rebellion. And so today, many people who would like to just destroy Christ, you know, kicking Jesus and Christ out of Christmas. Hey, so funny. I know you guys are going to get upset with what I'm going to say. Not upset, but you're going to smile. People have asked me, not in this congregation, but outside, are we having a service on Christmas Day? I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, Christmas falls on Sunday. And? Well, should we have a church service on Sunday? I said, what has possessed you? I mean, it's Jesus' birthday. We should come to his house. Well, I want time with my family. Well, go ahead and have time with your family, but I'm having time with my real family. I'm not judging anybody. People do what they need to do. But many people have said to me, we're doing everything live. What do you mean we're live? Yeah, we're going to be on Facebook and people can see us through Facebook. I said, yeah, we have that accommodation too. I said, but I'm going to, in order for it to be live, I have to be here. And we are the ones who are live. Amen. And I just can't. But see, this is what it is. Destroying the real issue, Christmas. Christ in the center, and he has creeped into the church. We're doing this special thing with Kevin Young, and I thank God for Brother Young. We've worked with Brother Young for years and years and years. And what they're doing is wonderful. It's something we used to do. We can't do it now because we don't have the people that we used to have. So we're smart enough to understand that God's kingdom is to be respected. And I have no fear of having people go to another church to do something we were used to do, because I'm not going to punish people who need our ministry. And if we have to go somewhere else to do it, we do it. Amen. Some of you don't catch it, but maybe I can build some guilt on some of you and get you to do some other stuff. So destroying Christ, getting Christ out of Christmas because he interferes with our life. Because Christ won't let me do what I want to do. I don't want Christ in my life. I don't want him to come in and prevent me from doing whatever the blankety blank I want to do. That's right. Well, let me just tell you something. People who want to do whatever they want to do don't have room for Jesus. And just like Herod, how do we get rid of him? Let's get rid of him in our minds. Let's get rid of him in the public square. Let's get rid of Christ everywhere. Let's just take Christmas and let it be what gift are you going to give to people? Let's commercialize it. Consumerism taking over. And Christmas has lost its meaning because it means what are we going to give somebody? A gift of some sort of commercialization. Nothing to do with Christ coming into the heart, forgiving our sins and living for him. So Christians then are men and women who have ceased to do whatever they like. They have dedicated their lives to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The world says, let's get rid of him. The Christian says, Lord, what can I do for you? How can I best serve you, Lord? Here I am, Lord. Use me. Yes, Lord, your will be done, not my will be done. So then that's the reaction of the crazy people that we have around the world today, like Herod. And then we got the super spiritual ones, or maybe, shall we say, the chief priests and the scribes, as the scripture says here. And their reaction is complete indifference to Jesus Christ. I think of all the sins, that's the one that just ripped my heart to pieces, because the indifference that we have today is unequivocal, the art and the work of the enemy in our society. Christ, to the scribes, Pharisees, meant absolutely nothing to them. They were too engrossed with their temple rituals and their legal discussions, and they completely disregarded Jesus. Sometimes we're so far away with our own interests that we make no room for the interests that God may have upon our lives. So involved with ourselves, so involved that we pay no attention, it's indifferent. Indifference. Remember many years ago, I used to get myself, very concerned, because I would see the malls full of people and the church empty. Indifference. People don't care. Detachment. Refusing community. Refusing to be involved in a place where they can be held accountable. Refusing to listen to the voice of God. Indifference. We don't care. And when Sunday morning comes around where we're supposed to come to church, we make a choice. Do I go to the mountains? Do I go to the beach? Do I stay home and sleep? What do I do? Let's see. Well, hey, there's a good game going on. And we're indifferent to the call of God, to the call of worship, to the call of God in our hearts. Indifference. Secular society. We don't really care. I remember when I went to Argentina some years ago, I tried to find some of my friends, and some of my friends, the only thing they cared about was how much money I had in my pocket. And they were indifferent as to what provided the funds that I had in my pocket. When I would speak to them about the Lord, well, we'll hear it some other time. The indifference, the worldliness, the lack of respect for Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious ones, in their temple rituals, with their legal discussions, They disregarded Jesus Christ. It meant nothing to them. And still, their people were so interested in their own affairs that Jesus Christ means nothing to them. I hope and pray that you and I would think it through and that we would not be indifferent to the fact that we're celebrating Jesus' birthday this week. Well, the last one. See, I told you it was going to be a brief message. So we have the reaction of Herod, the reaction of the scribes and Pharisees, and now the reaction of the wise men. How did they react to Jesus? They went to worship him. Worship him, to adore him. Their desire was to lay at the feet of Jesus Christ and bring to him the greatest gift they could possibly give to Jesus himself. I want you to know that when you discover who Jesus is, you will want to give everything you have to him. And there will be a turning of the heart, a turning of attitude, a turning of life, a turning of direction, a turning of light, a complete turnaround, because you have found the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Maker of heaven and earth, who has come to dwell in your heart. We as Christians need to remember that, especially next Sunday morning. We come to worship him, to adore him. The word worship also means serving. We come to serve him. And when we begin to serve God, we begin to love God, we begin to understand who he is, you and I become aware of the love of God, which surpasses all understanding, just like his peace. And you're engulfed with his love in such a way that you are lost in wonder, in love, and in praise. Where all of a sudden you say, yeah, it's the real thing. The Lord is in my heart. This is not just a fairy tale. This is not just some stuff out there. It's real. Jesus is real in my life. So in Genesis chapter 10, when the plagues came, and especially the ninth plague, which was darkness, it says it very clearly in the scriptures that there was darkness all over Egypt for 3 days. But there's something else that that verse says in chapter 10. And it says that though there was darkness in the world, the people of God, they had light. Let me read that to you. Because in the midst of our troubled generation is exactly what happens. It says, so Moses stretched out his hand over the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. It's darkness out there. But you and I who have the Lord in our heart, we have our own light. We can see our way through darkness, through the moments that hit your life, the uncertainties of your life, the difficulties of your life, the moments that you cannot understand. The light comes to you because you and I dwell in the light, as he is in the light. And we walk together. And as we walk together in his light, our sins are forgiven as we confess them to him. And we're cleansed continually. And it's a walk of faith, and a walk of victory, a walk of light. And we but worship him. It is a life that though all around us we see darkness, difficulties, yet we have our light. In the midst of darkness, Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Because it compels us not to destroy Christ, not to be indifferent to Christ, but to worship Christ where we are. And we are in moments of great deep darkness in this society. When I was going through Bible college, I had a job in a secular establishment. I did everything I could to keep soul and body together. Oh boy. And I worked in a place in a meatpacking warehouse where I knew for a fact that there could be nothing worse. And it was one of the vilest places, most gruesome places that I've ever encountered. And I worked for many places. I mentioned to you now and then that I worked for Howard Johnson as an accountant, and they're still trying to unravel the mess that I did in the numbers. But this place was tough. And I was the only Christian in that big, huge warehouse, meatpacking house. And I was so concerned because darkness was around me in ways in which I could never imagine possible. And I remember coming to one of my teachers, Brother Eno, who's with the Lord now. I said, Brother Eno, look what's going on. I'm being hit from every side. It's horrible. And he took that look to me and said, don't you rebuke the buffetings of the enemy. Use it as a sign and as a badge of pride, because God is testing you where you need to be tested. I wanted him to feel sorry for me. And he told me to go and fight more. And this is what I'm saying. We're in the midst of a crooked and lost generation, but we are the only hope. And that's why God places us in the darkest spots possible, so that our light can shine in this Christmas season. People will reject and want to get rid of Christ. Others will be indifferent, but we must worship him where we are. You know, you are working where you're working because you're supposed to shine in the light that God has given you. Christ needs to come through. Wherever you're working, you're there not just to get a check, though that's helpful. You're there to proclaim the light of Jesus, to stand as an ambassador of light in the midst of darkness. Yeah, I know what it is to complain, because what I was going through was awful. And the things those people did at the job, because they knew I was a Christian. They locked me in a freezer once. And those freezers are freezers. That's cold. And I wasn't ready for that. And thank God that every 10 minutes, the inspector came by, and I thought those 10 minutes were 20 or 30. I was froze to death. One time they threw a rack of lamb through the doors, and all the hooks came off, and I stood like that, and it ripped my uniform, and I have a line all around my arm like that with the hooks. So I'm not talking light stuff like, they don't want to have lunch with you. Or they don't want to talk to you. I'm talking about aggressiveness. And yet, in the darkness where God places you, you shine the most. And then I found out there was one Nazarene silent witness in the whole plant too. So when I told him, why are you so quiet? He said, because I don't want to be persecuted. Look, we are where we are because God has designed us to be lights in that dark place. There is darkness around us. There is the rejection of Christ. There is the indifference to Christ. But we are called to worship Christ. And we worship him every single day of our lives by letting our light shine in the world. So how is your Christmas so far? We started December by saying, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I said, look, this is what Paul did in his life. And we showed you what he did. And some of us have a romantic view of Christianity, that when I come to Christ, every one of my problems will disappear. No, they're just beginning. Because you need to confront them with the power and the strength of the faith that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we desperately need you to live for Christ. And then we said, and how does this really translate? And we went to the epistles where Paul says, this is how you behave at home. Because if you don't have a testimony in your home, you will not have a testimony at your work. And he says it clearly. Husbands, But we start with women. Women, love your husbands, submit yourself, and husbands, love your wife. And then he speaks to the children, he speaks to the workplace, and he goes on through a whole category of behaviors, of how we're supposed to live, because Christ lives in me and not yet I, but Christ lives in me. We're fastly approaching Christmas. We're almost at the end of the year, and I'm asking you in the name of the Lord, let your light shine in the midst of the darkness that's around you. Be a witness for his glory. There are certain places where at the job it's very difficult to live, and I totally understand that there's harassment in the job site, and there are issues that you should not tolerate. When the law says for you to live in a certain way, then you live in that certain way. And if your boss is abusive, you should report that boss. I'm talking about standing up for your rights as a human being, but at the same time, standing right with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you do not tolerate what they do to you because you're a Christian. And that you live like a Christian. And that you have a testimony as a Christian. And when people see you, they know that you're different because Christ is in you. And the reason you're different is because your light is shining. So we may have a world of darkness, but the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. And you and I have the light of the world. We have Christ in our hearts. And we can discern the hatred and the hostility of the world towards Christ. And we can discern people that are totally indifferent. But we worship the Lord where we are. We serve him where we are. We let our light shine. We stand for something. We stand for the Lord in this Christmas season. You and I need desperately to adhere to the gospel and respect the word of the Lord. Reverence the word of the Lord and live according to the word of the Lord. So I too, in many times in my life, I get caught in his love and I'm lost in his wonder, and I praise him and I thank him for everything he has done for me, as just like you are caught in the love, the wonder, and the praise of Jesus, the Son of God. So where are you today? How is your witness? How is your light? Yes, I'll finish by reiterating what I've said. There's reaction of hatred and hostility towards Christ. People want to do away with him because Christ is Lord. And then the others that are completely indifferent and could care less. But you and I worship him. We will never stop worshiping him. In Jesus' name. So Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning. Because here is a group of human beings who has been rescued. And here we are, Lord. We want to react in adoring worship. We have the desire to lay at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and give to you, Lord, the greatest gifts that we could ever bring to you, which is our heart, our life. Lord, we become aware of your love. And Lord, we're lost, Lord, in wonder. And we're lost in praise. And we're lost in your love. Oh, Lord, help us to shine the light where we are. Help us not to be so indifferent, but very completely different to be able to praise your name and to worship your name where we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Lord. Will you say amen? Amen. All right. Shall we stand? I told you it was going to be short.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew right spirit within me.
Everybody.
Create in me a clean heart. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. joy of thy salvation, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Amen. You're kind of quiet this Sunday morning. Well, I thank the Lord because he saved my soul, filled me with the Holy Spirit, because made me and called me into a pastor that I never wanted. Landed here for 44 years and still here because the Lord blessed us with a Bible college that's reaching the world. The Lord's blessed me with a wonderful wife and two children and three grandchildren, and Argentina's champion. All right, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.